The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Sean.
Hello.
How are you doing this week, Sean?
Pretty good.
Are you past the mourning phase? You doing all right?
Yeah, you know, I don't know that I ever really mourned for the house. I'm not totally into stuff. You know, it's just kind of a shame, right?
Right.
My parents are mourning. They're still mourning.
Yeah, so you feel for them at least, I'm
yes.
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a psychopath.
Right, right.
Contrary to what the rumors.
Right. You're a functioning sociopath?
No. Okay.
Isn't that what Sherlock says he is?
Yeah, he says he's a high-functioning sociopath, which is three things that I'm not. Well,
so,
two things. High-functioning is hyphenated.
So for
whatever.
You listeners around the world, you know, here we are. We're in the ashes of the car fire. It's starting to get under control. So I decided I was going to donate a bunch of clothes, you know, because like any other happily married man, I've gained a lot of weight.
Am I going to see a bunch of people wearing a lot of black clothing?
A lot of black cowboy shirts, a lot of, you know, jeans, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of Converse. So I go through all of my clothes, and I get rid of any clothes that just don't fit me anymore. And,
right.
And inevitably, as you do these things, you end up finding some clothes, like, because I have been losing a little weight, and I'm all like, hey, man, I can get into some of these, you know. So I got some new clothes out of it as well, and I probably gave away maybe 30 shirts and like 10 pairs of pants or something, you know.
It's not bad.
And so I'm wearing these jeans today. These jeans I haven't been able to wear in a long time.
Nice.
But I think I might have like dislocated my sternum, like trying to like put the button together. So I mean, I'm in here, man. I'm in here for the long haul.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's good to know that you're doing your part.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
I mean, there should be signs thanking first responders, but also signs thanking all the people who dislocated their sternums.
Yeah.
Squeezing into their old pants that they didn't donate, but they found while they were donating.
Yeah, I swear to God, after this, I was like just ragingly out of breath. I'm all, oh, Lord, I thought I was going to die. But once I had them on, I'm just all like, I got to go, you know.
You've got to stretch first before you put on pants.
My body or the pants?
Both.
Both, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I see my wife do that. But, you know, girls' pants tend to be a little stretchier because they like the form fitting, you know.
Right.
I guess we
sure.
live in the day and age of skinny jeans.
That's true. I'm currently wearing skinny jeans.
You're skinny jeans? I'm guessing that Jared is not a wearer of skinny jeans.
To be honest, my mom bought me a pair of skinny jeans,
yeah.
Unbeknownst to her.
Yeah.
And, I put them on, and I'm just not going to...
You didn't feel
no,
right about it?
No.
Yeah, okay. I can't wear them. I look like a Starbucks cake pop. You know, it's like a no-go, you know? It's like I skipped leg day or something. It's not right.
Well,
I could go off
on
about
that, frankly.
I could go off about weight and clothing problems for hours, so this is probably
That's
not what the
That's
what
this
world.
Show is about now.
This show tonight... We have a returning guest.
Excellent.
We have Mike DeMonte.
Ah.
And if you don't remember, which I'm sure you do, but I'll remind our listening audience.
Well, of course I remember.
He wrote Punk
all
Rock and UFOs, and now he has a new one, Punk Rock and UFOs True Believers.
Uh-huh.
But before we move on to that, I would like to address our guest last week. We got a call. So this show re-airs on our home station, which is KCNR AM 1460. It re-airs on Saturday mornings, and we got a call in of some guy who was like, irritated because the story that this guy was telling our guest
about
last
how
week,
the world would come to an end,
right? He was basically saying was ripped off from an old episode of The Outer Limits called "The Man Who Was Never Born" from 1963.
Which, reading a synopsis of that episode, is fair.
It was pretty accurate.
Yeah. I mean, we'll plead no contest to that particular angry caller.
Right. And you know, I like to go into these shows with a little bit of research on our guests.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily, like, learn everything about them because I like to learn about them on the air. I like it to be sort of candid and natural. As we're communicating, it's like, I don't know if other shows do this, but I don't talk to the guest during the commercial break because I want to save it for the air.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And, so we both get home and we watch this video and your message to me just cracked me up because you're just all like, what? When you saw the video.
Well, the video was just so obviously, I don't understand how a functional, rational adult could be taken in by that video. I just don't.
Right. Yeah. Well, we live in that day and age, you know, it's like. Like, do you ever see Alien Autopsy or any of that stuff?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're, you know, we're sort of, this digital age has put us past, it's like, you know, the Blair Witch was really quite an amazing marketing thing when it came out. You know, when the Blair Witch came out, people actually believed that stuff was real. And one of the reasons why is the producers of the film, a year before they even filmed it, went to the town of Burkittsville and put up missing posters of all of the people, and they had a website going for like a year and a half prior to the thing even. They actually put a ton of sort of effort into it, and Fargo, too. Fargo is not actually a true story. Fargo just pretended it was a true story, you know, but we sort of live past this now. And I have to agree when I watch that video.
Well, and the War of the Worlds, to go back even further.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
People believe that because it was on the radio.
Right. But that was an accident on Orson Welles' part.
That's fair, but it's still a little surprising that people were like, oh, dang, I guess there's aliens.
Right.
Curses.
So, yeah, I watched the video, too, and I'm just all, I don't think so.
Yeah, but, you know, we had a flat earther on here. I don't find a lot of our guests particularly persuasive, but I think 99% of them believe wholeheartedly in what they're telling us.
Yeah,
and so that's interesting, right?
Right. Do you think our guest was telling us the truth, or do you think our guest was...
I don't think our guest was making something up for purposes of manipulating people.
You think he was just...
I think he believed what he was saying. I just am like, how?
And you said you actually researched this video and you know the production company.
So I did some research, yeah, and it looks like the first appearance of this video on the web was from a well-known special effects guy. He didn't say, oh, hey, look, I'm doing my special effects, but this is the same guy who earlier posted a video of a UFO that he claimed was real, and then later posted a video showing how he had made it.
I see.
So, like, this is a UFO hoax from a guy who is well known for doing UFO hoaxes.
Well,
so that doesn't inspire confidence.
So
and
I gotta
that was
say,
found with like 5 minutes of research.
Right. All right. I gotta say, guy who called in on Saturday, we hear you. And we feel you. You know, we were feeling kind of the same thing. And we definitely were after the fact. So maybe we should get some links to that up on the Facebook. Go ahead and check us out online at RadioWasteland.us and, you know, a Facebook Radio Wasteland. That's pretty creative.
But first, listen to this interview because it's going to be awesome.
All right, right. All right. We got a minute up until the interview. This is Mike DeMonte. Punk Rock and UFOs, the second book, Punk Rock and UFOs, True Believers. One thing I love about this is I get to pick punk rock music as my bumper music. Hit it, Jared. We'll be back after the commercial with Mike DeMonte.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Redding. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time, full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
Radio Wasteland and our guest Mike DeMonte. Welcome back, Mike.
Thank you. Thanks again for having me. And a great song to lead in. Yeah. One of my chapters is named after that. So.
Oh, is it? Yeah, I haven't had a chance to read the book, but it seemed very fitting when I was going through picking my bumper music for this episode.
Well, with the mind meld that you two have after the last show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's two of my favorite things right there, punk rock and UFOs.
Right. So it's like, in that order.
Right. It is in that awesome. Order. So how are things going for you, Mike?
Things are going well. Just been busy with the book coming out at the end of July. There's a few hiccups in terms of production. All the pre-orders sold out, which I think is a good thing.
But also the
distributors didn't refill them the day the book came out. So anyone who pre-ordered them was good. But then for about a week, Amazon and Barnes & Noble, it was out. So luckily, that's taken care of now. But just in the meantime, I was doing a lot of podcasts and radio and shows leading up to the promotion of it as well. But yeah, other than that, reception's been good. I'm just glad it's out. And, you know, the process was, you know, I wrote the book shortly after I wrote the first one. And, you know, there's talks, you know, amongst a few publishing companies in the UFO field. But then my first publisher, expressed interest in putting it out again. And they're like, oh, yeah, we want to put it out at the end of the month. Is it done? And I'm like, yes. Can we get it out by the end of the month? Sure. But, yeah, that was a grind. And just, you know, we got it out on time.
Well, before we move on to the new book, maybe we should quickly run down the original book. So this new book is called Punk Rock and UFOs, True Believers. The original book was called Punk Rock and UFOs, I don't have it in front of me, Cryptozoology
meets Anarchy.
Meets Anarchy. All right, I did have it in my head. So run down the first book for us real quick, if you could.
So the first book, basically it looked at, you know, the cryptozoology and ufology as an underdog science. And that's kind of the parallel I make with punk rock. Not necessarily, you know, punk rock music per se, but the kind of the rebellious nature, you know, what we choose to believe and what we choose to rebel against.
Absolutely.
So the first book was kind of centered around that idea. It also had some theories in it as well. The new book, Punk Rock UFOs, True Believers, is more, it's a combination of more research-based writing, and I mean, it still has some theories in it as well, but also it's kind of like a call to arms to the UFO community, as well as maybe somebody who's just picking, who's just reading this stuff for the first time, just to try to get them engaged in the subject.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess we might be jumping the gun with this, but why is it that you think that the world, it's like so many, you meet so many people who feel that they have had UFO experiences, even outside of people who think they got some weird chunk of metal in their face or that they've been abducted and probed by aliens. We're talking just like even people I know who've been out camping and they say, man, I saw some stuff, you know, I saw that you were on Somewhere in the Skies with Ryan Sprague, and Ryan's initial UFO story was just about camping and seeing some lights pass over him. You know, why do we know so many people who have had these experiences, yet the idea seems to be so laughable?
You know, it's funny because so many people, like you said, have seen something. And, you know, I was interviewing Jeffrey Kripal. He's a professor of religious studies. I interviewed him for the book. And one of the quotes he gave me was, these experiences are as common as water. And obviously that's kind of a, you know, over-exaggeration. But, you know, the point he's making was, you know, throughout time, these weird experiences, these sightings, these, you know, paranormal incidents, they're very common.
It's true.
You know, just because they're not, you know, on the news all the time or they're not reported. But people, I mean, I swear, if you ask, you know, five people, I would guarantee at least three of them have seen something that they can't explain at least once in their life.
Yeah. So do you think it's, I mean, this is a great punk rock comparison right here. And that's, do you think it's sort of like conforming mob mentality that people want to automatically say, oh, no, that's BS, you know, because if I say anything, I might not look very cool, or I might not look, you know, if I accept that there's something out there that we don't know, you know, is there some sort of conforming mob mentality going on? Or,
I mean, yeah, I think you're kind of onto something. The whole kind of groupthink mentality that, you know, kind of started with how the media portrayed it for a while. You know, I'm talking about, you know, like in the 70s and 80s and, yeah, and that is, you know, it's still very fringe, and I think it's slowly getting away from the fringe element of it. You know, you have mainstream outlets reporting on it, you know, like the New York Times and Washington Post, and it's been on television, and it's being treated more seriously. It's moving away from the fringe, which is obviously a good first step.
Yeah, this was definitely the first year that I can ever remember where there were actually reports in the news that gave it some degree of credibility.
Yeah.
There was, you know, the sightings, the military sightings that they released. There's the thing that our first Mars rover actually might have found the proof of life but accidentally destroyed it on Mars. There just seems to be a lot going on. So we seem to have hit this point where mainstream is starting to accept it. And other than Michiru Kaku, you know, I don't hear a lot of scientists really sort of backing any of it up, you know.
I think, you know, a lot of scientists for years were kind of afraid of their peers, what their peers would think. So I think there's more experimental science happening kind of on the down low. I think a lot of them were afraid that they lose funding if they said, hey, let's do this. But I mean, there's some that recently have come to light. You know, I mean, if you kind of go back to, you know, the what happened to Skinwalker Ranch, you know, you had a full research team out there, and then, you know, more recently with the STARS Academy, you know, they have some legit physicists and scientists working on that team, and EarthTech is the name of the organization in Austin. They've been working on this stuff for years. They've been studying this experimental science and physics and quantum physics and all these things. So another thing too, I mentioned in my book is, you know, the study of dark matter. University of Texas in Austin, they upgraded their telescope $40 million. They put $40 million into it to start investigating more about the idea of dark energy. So I think it's like I said, I think it's starting to become more mainstream, and a lot more scientists are willing to kind of put their name out there to, because if you think about it, I mean, I really don't think scientifically it's not that fringe. Just because you can't fully explain something or prove it doesn't mean it's not worth going down, you know, the quote unquote, the rabbit hole to try to find the answers.
Yeah, society does seem to be moving a little bit away with technology moving so quickly. I think people are starting to be able to digest the concept that there's a lot of truths out there that we just don't know. And, you know, like a lot of people will be like, well, why haven't we found these aliens yet? And I'm all, I don't know. Why don't the, you know, I grew up watching nature shows, you know, how they film all those monkeys. I'm serious. You know, they filmed all these monkeys. Yeah. They filmed like all these things like chasing down and hunting and killing and eating other things. They didn't know they were being filmed. You know, it's like, so this is totally reasonable that a more advanced civilization could come along and do all this stuff without really ever letting us know.
And it's perfectly reasonable, too, that, you know, I mean, from my research and from everything I read, you know, I believe they make themselves visible at certain times to certain people. And, you know, from everything I've read about abductions and all those experiences, you know, all those memories and all those ideas are hidden in your subconscious. And we're not able to channel that in the appropriate means, because we don't know how to fully use our brain capacity and our potential as human beings in our current state. So, you know, you hear about stories through regression and hypnosis where people are able to get these memories back, which is always super fascinating. But, I think, you know, people look at it as a very humanistic view, and they're not able to think, well, what if we're not, you know, what if it's a different playing field they're on, you know?
Right, exactly, you know. And really, I feel that that's what, you know, you said it right there. I feel that a lot of this world is really sort of missing the question, what if, in their life. You know, they need to be asking, what if? And, you know, there's something to be said that we're spread so thin on time. You know, I have a wife, 3 kids, several jobs. It's hard for me to ask the questions, what if? You know, it seems like I'm being set up to not ask them.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I think that's one of my one of the points I make in the new book is that, you know, we have so many things in our lives that take, you know, precedence over, you know, even our interests. You know, sometimes we don't have time for them. You know, we have families, we have work, you know, people have school, people have real life concerns. You know, the mysteries of the universe may not be priority to, you know, the common man.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, we're coming up on our first commercial break here. We're listening to, or talking to, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. And we're talking to Mike DeMonte about his new book, Punk Rock and UFOs, True Believers. Come on back.
Yeah. Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything, and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Connor Sutton. Join me Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for my all-new sports show where I discuss local, regional, and even national stories, as well as bring on guests with incredible sports knowledge. So join us Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for Sports Talk with Connor Sutton, the only local sports show in Reading.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Southern Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
We learned it the hard way. Wildland fire is a fact of life for us. The only real protection for your home and property is defensible space. Remove ladder fuels, brush, and trees that can take the fire right into your house. But cleaning up your landscape is a big job, and Cal North Forestry is up to the task. They are the professionals. Cal North Forestry. Give your home the best chance at survival. For a free estimate, call 209-9473. 209-9473.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
It's the Shasta County Mini Maker Fair. It's the open call for makers. So, what do you make? We're celebrating engineering, arts, crafts, science, technology, and do-it-yourself. Your chance to show off your work. Everything from robotics, electronics, gaming, sewing, blacksmithing, crafters, student projects, dance performers, 3D printing, music, performers, and much more. Application deadline is August 9th for the September 15th Maker Fair. Contact makers at makerfairshasta.com or visit shastacounty.makerfair.com.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we're talking to Mike DeMonte about his new book, Punk Rock and UFOs, True Believers, the Follow-Up and UFOs, Cryptozoology Meets Anarchy, versus Meets.
Something about anarchy.
I need
it's all good.
Yeah, I'm normally such a big fan of this stuff that I do this stuff on the fly with no notes, so it's like throw me a bone.
Okay.
All right. So, Mike, this new book you say is definitely more researched. So, would that mean that the last one was maybe a little more of a
sociological essay, and this new one is definitely more research statistics, or what did you mean by that?
I wouldn't say research in terms of statistically. I would just say I reached out, interviewed more people, got different perspectives. Mm-hmm. The first one was just kind of more what I thought.
I see.
This one is more kind of what other people believe and think. And I was able to get a lot of contributions from not only people in the UFO field, but through pop culture, through academia. So I pulled from a lot of different different pools, per se, for quotes and for perspectives, because, you know, part of the book being, you know, called True Believers is, you know, I wanted to involve other people who were, you know, involved in the field as well, you know, their perspectives are part of the project too.
Right. So did you find that a lot of people, I guess I want to ask this first. How prevalent is punk rock in the UFO field? Or do you find a lot of people going, what?
Like, once again, yeah, it's more the kind of attitude behind it.
No, I get that. But when you bring them the concept, you know, did you have a lot of people like going like, hey, I'm a punk fan? Or a lot of people kind of going like, I'm not even sure what that is?
Well, it's funny. A lot of people, you know, when they kind of get the brand, you can say, they're kind of like, oh, that's cool, I get it. And then they'll bring up a band or... You know, I've been on other shows too where they're like, oh, I love punk rock music. And one of the shows I was on, the Other Side podcast, the guy who does it, he has a band. And they play all types of music. And they have like a song recorded for every show they do.
Oh, really?
And they had me on recently.
Step up your really game, cool Chauncey.
Yeah.
They had a really cool punk rock song they wrote, which was basically about belief. It really wasn't about UFOs or, you know, paranormal. It was mostly just about belief. And it went really well. But no, I mean, there's definitely some, you know, some parallels, obviously, between, you know, punk rock and UFOs that go just beyond just kind of the book. Amy Dumas, who's a professional, former WWE professional wrestler leader, she used to play in a punk rock band. She made her own DIY UFO show, that was on the internet for a while. Obviously, you know, Tom DeLonge from Blink-182. Yeah, he's doing his research to the Stars Academy. So there's a lot of people in bands or involved in it that believe in this stuff, for sure.
Yeah, and I bet you a large part of that is because a lot of people tend to be creatives. Well, it's like in the case of punk rock. I've always said that there are two different types. First off, let me throw this in. As you're going around doing your other interviews, I would like you to throw in the fact that of all the hosts that you've had, Chauncey at Radio Wasteland is easily the most punk rock knowledgeable.
Yes.
That's my request. And you better say that, because we got a while to go before this interview's over, and it could go a whole different turn, man.
I'll name the songs you play, too.
All right. You know, I think that it's probably not uncommon. So in the case of punk rockers, I've always said that there were two different types of punk rockers. There's the guys who want to chug beer and go mess stuff up, and then there's the DIY guys, the guys who basically are putting on the shows and doing all the stuff, you know. And I think that's the case also with ufology, that we have two different types of people. There tends to be these sort of hardcore analytical nuts and bolts researchers, and then these creatives, you know, creatives that are comfortable asking the question, what if, on a regular basis. And so I'm not surprised that a lot of creative, artistic people, musicians and stuff like that, are really involved in this stuff, because those are probably the people who are most apt to ask those questions.
Yeah, that's a really great point, especially the kind of, you know, we're talking about ufology, how there's kind of two types of people in punk rock. And you can say that too, you know, there's, you know, two types of people in ufology. You have, like you said, the very analytical nuts and bolts, and you have the people who want to ask the questions. But, you know, the thing with the people who are involved in ufology, it's come to the point where there's, like, you know, there's open-minded people that are like, what if? And then there's some people that are just so rigid, it's hard to ever get, like, let me rephrase this. It's good to be skeptical, right? It's always good to question everything.
Right.
But you have people that are just involved in this field that are just so, jaded, or just that they don't believe anything, you know,
right?
Unless a UFO flies in their house, or unless, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but why are they involved? You know, it makes you question their motives, I guess.
That's a great question. I think a lot of them are just very spoiled. Like, nothing's good enough. They want full disclosure, you know, or nothing's good enough. Or, you know, they want all the facts that, you know, may not be out yet. Like, they're very impatient.
So what do you think of disclosure? You know, a big part of my questioning that I always ask when it comes to UFOs is, like, I'm very curious about what the intent is. You know, why are they even coming here and stuff like this? I realize this is conjecture and we're doing some guesswork here. But, you know, what do you think of disclosure and what do you think of why they would even be coming here?
So a lot of people kind of think that, you know, if the truth came out, you know, our religious institutions would fall apart and people would revolt in the streets because, oh, we've been lied to this whole time. And I don't know if I fully buy that. I mean, I know it's definitely be kind of a blow to the ego of our history, but, I mean, one of the things, the points I make in the new book is, you know, disclosure really doesn't mean much if people don't care. You know, like I said, you know, the Pentagon UFO story was, you know, headline news, you know, it was front page news. And, you know, you had a few people asking about it, you know, hey, I saw this, you know, what do you think about this? But, you know, it still wasn't some earth shattering thing like you would think. In terms of the second question, why do I think they're here or they come visit?
Yeah. I'm always curious about the intent, you know, like, as researchers go about this stuff and they interview people, they tend to, you know, pick up on some ideas about what's the intent of the aliens. Why would they even come here?
I don't think their intent is negative or, dangerous. What I believe is, you know, I kind of buy into a lot of the, not all of it, but a lot of the basis of the ancient astronaut theory that they've always been here, through whether it's through channeling or through direct contact or visitations. I think they've kind of held our hand kind of, through time and, you know, developing our societies. And, I think it's come to the point where we as society is so developed now, it's just kind of more of a checking in on us to make sure we don't blow up the world with nuclear bombs.
So kind of like down the lines of 2001 or Childhood's End, where they're basically where they're invested in our development and sort of spreading life like we're sea monkeys.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's a theory called the Fermi paradox. It's basically, it's like we're a zoo. Earth is a zoo. And, you know, you have all these other races and all these other universes kind of looking in on us, which was always really fascinating to me, that idea. Because us as humans, you know, we think, you know, we're the only beings out there. And, you know, we're the strongest and the smartest. And, you know, what if we were just like monkeys in the zoo?
Right. Oh, God, the idea that our entire planet is basically intergalactic Jersey Shore really disturbs me.
But it would make a lot of sense.
It would explain a lot. You know. Yeah, so, I mean, maybe they're coming here to instigate some problems because ratings are dropping.
They just shake the cage every
right,
now.
Right, right, yeah, totally. That's funny. So, your book, you sold out on your pre-orders. That is absolutely awesome.
Yeah, I don't know how much they ordered, but that's still, I'll find out eventually. But yeah, that's on the surface, that sounds good.
And what about the last book? Was it well received by the community?
Yeah, I wrote that book just to kind of write a book. You know, I wrote it. I wanted to get it published. I didn't really know what was going to come of it. And to me, it was kind of more the doors had opened. You know, people started hitting me up saying, hey, we want you to be on our show. We really liked your book. And I was like, what, really? And then there's people in ufology who are like, oh, you're such a fresh, such a fresh take in this field. And I was really kind of taken aback by it. That was really cool. And then we're like, so some producers, like from TV shows, started reaching out. And but then I launched the website as well. And then I decided to, you know, put a store up on there where I made merchandise. And it's like all these things you kind of wish you could do.
Right.
Like, oh, I wish I could do this, this, and this. And you're like, well, you know, some of this is possible. All it needs is you just need a little push and just a little bit of attention. And it's certainly possible.
Well, we're definitely glad you did it. We're coming up on the next commercial break. You're listening to Mike DeMonte here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Yeah, he'll stop. I have the right of way. Or will he? Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision Repair. Don't count on it. He or she might be texting, changing the station on the radio, or breaking up a fight in the back seat. Don't take that chance. Lives are at stake. Distracted driving is a danger to us all. You can be proactive in preventing an accident. There's not much you can do when you're sitting in your car and they back into your door. If this happens to you, come see us. We're located at the south end of East Side Road just before Gervin. With your claim number, we can handle your entire claim process. Our quality repairs and friendly service will have you recommending Coachmaster to all your friends and families. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
This is Tip Heidi with Northern Firearms Instruction with your security tip of the day. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. Many people hang around to investigate what may be a crime only to become a victim themselves because they confront a violent criminal. Leave the area and call your local law enforcement agency immediately. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
The annual Orchard Nutrition Center Health Fair is coming Saturday, September 8th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Don't miss your chance to enjoy lots of free samples of health-related items. There'll be a smart chicken hot dog barbecue. Be sure to bring the kids for the kitty carnival and great live music from Jimmy Limo. Find out about organic produce, organic groceries, vitamins and supplements, and so much more. And the event is absolutely free. The Orchard Nutrition Center Health Fair, Saturday, September 8th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 221 Locust Street in Reading.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest, Mike DeMonte. We are talking about his book, Punk Rock and UFOs, True Believers, the follow-up to his previous book, Punk Rock and UFOs, Cryptozoology Meets Anarchy. Got it.
Nice. Got it.
All right. So, we were talking before about how you wrote the book just to write a book. I don't think that's a fair sales pitch from you because, like, anybody who's first starting something out, you know, they're just throwing themselves in there, you know. You don't know what to expect. I mean, now you have some industry knowledge, and so you probably view yourself as like just a baby at the time, you know. But writing a book just to write a book is probably the best reason to write a book, you know, because that's your artistry, you know.
Well, you know, Chauncey, I wrote this book because I wanted to make a lot of money.
Right. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that. Yeah, Gore Vidal or something. Yeah. All right, so go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a myth that people make money writing books.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's a myth that anybody makes any money doing anything artistic and fun. I think
exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's pretty much. It's a sad, crazy world. But you know, it's like I tell my kids. You know, best case scenario, you do what you love and you get paid for it. But the second best case scenario, you do what you're good at so that you can afford to do what you love when you're off work.
Oh, that's a great quote. I'm stealing it.
So, you know, I agree that it is a cool, interesting take on it, because that's really the point where we're at with ufology, where it is sort of hovering at this underground thing and ready to sort of break through into the mainstream. And unlike with art and music, we really want this to happen. We want it to break through into the mainstream, for it to become homogenized, so that it becomes sort of this acceptable topic so that we can find out more, right?
I never thought about it like that. That's a really great parallel, because, you know, you're right with, like, you know, punk rock, and, you know, you kind of have these bands that, you know, they're your own, you know, and then when next thing you know, you hear them on the radio and everyone's listening to them, you're kind of like, hey, that's not cool. I've been listening to that band for years, you know, it's kind of like your little thing. And that kind of, you know, it's like in the early 90s when, you know, in the mid 90s when Green Day broke, and then the late 90s when Blink-182 broke. It's kind of like, you know, if you kind of parallel that to with ufology, you know, this is something that was fringe kind of for a long time. It's right on the cusp of becoming, you know, mainstream.
Right. And, you know, you end up losing a lot of your core following. But in this case, you know, it's just like with, you know, the geocentric universe or something. It's probably good if it loses some of its creepy core following. Yeah. And then we hit this level of science where we're actually learning some serious stuff here. Because, you know, nothing weirds me out more than when I get these guys who think they have all the answers. They're coming to me saying, yeah, I've been communicating with Clack 2, you know, every night when I sleep since I was a baby. And Clack 2 says that all sorts of crazy stuff, you know. And it's like, and while I find it interesting, I also, you know, find it hard to get behind.
Yeah.
So what's next for you? Or are you even to the point of thinking of that?
So, like I said, I still continue the research with the website, punkrockunifos.com, which is kind of a combination of real research, the reported sightings, interviewing people, also more featurey, fun stuff, reviews of books and movies, commentary, like blog posts. So the website's a little bit of everything, as well. So it's an extension kind of the books. So that's kind of something I'm continuously doing.
You're hoping to grow the website maybe into more of a community with not only input by you, but sort of news and community input. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I think that'd be great if I could grow it where I'm not the only one, you know, writing on it. Mm-hmm. I got that offer to write full time on other sites as well. It's just hard to kind of find the time for punkrockunifos.com, let alone multiple sites. But I have some other books that are in the works. Some of them about this topic, something about other stuff. I've been trying to get this one out for a while. I wrote a book about kind of the rise of the emo pop punk scene that I'm waiting to publish. Then I have a fiction Bigfoot story as well, and then some other things. And eventually, one day, Punk Rock and UFOs 3. Everything is better when it's a trilogy.
Given the current pop culture news, I have to ask, is it Bigfoot erotica?
No.
Okay.
It's funny. Everyone.
Dang it.
You know, that's kind of in the news now.
Right.
I forgot who it was. It was a senator.
Senator guy.
Yeah.
And we're all rejoicing.
Years ago, my friend bought me a book on that as a joke for Christmas or for my birthday. And I have it somewhere. It's the weirdest thing because, like, this stuff exists.
Have you checked under your mattress? Yeah, when I heard that, I'm just like, what, really? You know, because, like, I'm like, you know, I'm pretty out there and checking out some weird stuff, but, you know, when I first heard of Bigfoot erotica, I'm just all like, there are some weird people out there.
That's probably not even the worst thing about that person, too. It's probably, like, way worse stuff.
Oh, yeah, well, he's running to be a senator. I'm sure there's a lot worse stuff
about
him.
People were accusing him of being a white supremacist, so
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I forgot about that. It's the same guy, yeah.
Right.
That's funny. Yeah, but when I...
I think he was running for House, though, just in the interest of this being a 100% accurate show.
Oh, all right. Thanks
for saying that. It's the reputation that we have, I'm sure.
Yeah, because contrary to popular opinion, Sean, everybody does like a know-it-all.
Thank you. I know. That's why I'm always here with the facts.
All right, Mike, we're here at the end of the show. Can you tell our audience a little bit more about where they can find out about your book and you? Of course, your website we just discussed, but hit us with that .com again. And where can they get your book?
It's on Amazon.com. It's also available in digital formats like Kindle and iTunes as well. And there's links on the website, punkrockufos.com. There's a tab that says buy the book. And also on the About, there's like an About tab. You can click on and read more about kind of myself, my history. Previously, before I was an author, I was a journalist full-time at the Houston Chronicle and some of the bands I interviewed. I mentioned that, and there's also links to shows I've done as well, just like this one. So, yeah, punkrockufos.com is where to go.
Sounds great. You know, we really enjoy having you on here. It's always a lot of fun. You know, it's fun to be able to talk music, but personally, you know, personally, I'm also a horror movie fan, so it's like anytime I get a chance to talk music or pop culture in general, you know, I'm always happy to have it, you know. So I don't know. You've been listening to Mike DeMonte.
I was gonna say no.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks again for having me. I'll be on anytime y'all want. And you know, you mentioned pop culture and, you know, horror movies and stuff. You'll really like the book because it tackles mythology, religion, and pop culture, ufology. It kind of pulls from a lot of different areas. So I think it has something for everyone.
Sounds good. And, you got me sold. I'm buying a copy. All right.
Awesome.
You've been listening
to
Mike DeMonte here on Radio Wasteland. Thanks for checking us out.
Thank you, guys. Good night.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.